All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and today I'm joined by someone who loves to rock a fringe vest with nothing underneath. Stuart!
The people frantically closing the YouTube video for this.
I was going to say frantically opening it, but you know.
Absolutely not. I don't think I've ever worn fringe in my entire life.
That's good. That's a good thing, I think.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. I mean, child of the 80s, but didn't actually, you know, exist properly in the 80s. So maybe I kind of missed that whole vibe.
Lucky you. Yeah. Of course, we're not alone today, Stuart. We are joined by someone who is truly, simply the best, better than all the rest, Melissa. Melissa, how are you?
Hi, you know it. Yeah, I'm so great. I'm so happy we've reached this episode. It's very exciting.
This is just a stopping point in the show. This is a moment. This is when we talked about doing this podcast, Stuart. This was one of the moments where I was like, I can't wait to get here. It's like we're putting our flag down in this episode, and we've arrived at season 4, episode 6, open mic, Stuart.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel?
You're expecting a hot take? Okay. The temptation to come onto this
I know.
Be like, shrug it off and be like, wasn't that good? It's too high. But I can't. It's so good. I am disgusted that it's taken 4 seasons to get to the point where I understand a core mechanic of this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
But like, I mean, it makes sense. Song, did you know that it was in reference to the Tina Turner song?
Yeah,
at least?
I'm aware of Tina Turner.
Okay, yeah.
I'm aware of Tina Turner.
But I kind of had suspicions it was probably a reference to that in some way. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know the exact kind of like way in which it would kind of manifest. But I feel like you introduced it in episode 1, Jess, and it's now season 4. Season 4.
But that's how big of a moment this is, that it reverberates back through the episode.
Exactly.
That it's like,
exactly. Yeah. I knew eventually we would get to it. And we got here. We did it. And it wasn't spoiled for you, which is incredible.
Good job, everybody.
You didn't see any clips. You didn't see any GIFs. Like, this is a momentous occasion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen a fair amount of GIFs out of context that I've then come to discover. I'm going, that's what that is. Kind of like Moira in the really kind of bad wig, doing the whole like kind of excited beyond compare moment and everything like that. I've seen things like that, but this completely, I don't even think I've seen a guitar in any of like the weird Schitt's Creek gifts that have come up. So yeah, well done everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm gonna just tell you, Stuart, don't gift search Simply the Best for like a while.
Just
chill on it for like a hot minute.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking through because sometimes, Stuart, usually like the day after, sometimes the same day of us recording Talking Shit, you will watch the next episode immediately after. And I'm looking through our messages here. And the first message you sent me in all caps, Bob does beat poetry.
Yes.
And then quickly in succession to that, he's singing Simply the Best, and then in all caps and like just massive is finally and the sign crying face. So we've made it. We've reached the point. We're watching the episode of Schitt's Creek that involves Simply the Best, and it is Simply the Best, and I'm so excited to talk about it. Shall we do a quick little recap here at the top to remind everybody, in case they're they just didn't rewatch this episode. I don't know why you wouldn't do that.
It's
but
gonna be done. You gotta eat your vegetables before you get to dessert. Like, gotta do it, guys.
This episode is not vegetables.
Yeah, I think we're the vegetables. but before we do, don't forget, subscribe everywhere, talking shit. We're getting closer to 200 subscribers on YouTube. We've hit 151, which means we're only 49 away from something very exciting, something unnamed happening on the podcast.
Unnamed, but not waterboarding.
Not waterboarding, exactly. So make sure you go follow us on YouTube, talking shit. All right, let's recap this episode. Grab some tissues, buckle up, people. It's a doozy. Let's get some other shit out of the way before we dive into all that romantic crap, though. Moira accidentally finds out the gender of Roland and Jocelyn's baby. But when they ask her for the information, of course, she can't remember whether it's a boy or a girl. And luckily, they know, you know, do the normal thing and just call their freaking doctor and find out it is a boy. So much shit will have a younger brother, hopefully with a better name than him. Alexis is the motel's newest VP of marketing communication. She's also a freelance brand invigorator. Whatever that is, she proposes tons of changes to the motel to hopefully improve things. And honestly, she's doing a pretty great job. It's really exciting to see. Stevie is freaking out because she's afraid that if the motel is successful, the roses will leave town and all of it will be dumped on her. Johnny assures her that's not the case. And they rebrand the motel to the Rosebud Motel to show just how committed Johnny is. And it's so cute. Okay, let's do it. Let's talk about open mic night. Rose Apothecary isn't doing so well, so Patrick suggests an open mic night to draw in new customers. David isn't thrilled at the idea of Patrick getting on stage and serenading him until he hears Patrick's rendition of Simply the Best, and we all fucking die because our hearts explode from love. Because it is truly just the best moment of all time ever. And that's our episode, Melissa.
I gotta say the unsung best part of this episode for me is Moira's reaction to the song. She's so sweet. She's so happy. Like, obviously Dan Levy's face during the whole thing just like breaks my heart. It's just so beautiful. But Moira's like looking at him and she's so happy for him. And then even when like the shits are trying to interrupt, she's like, my boy is being serenaded right now. Like, hold your stuff, can wait. This is like a moment. And then she's reveling in it for him. And it's just so sweet. And I love it so much.
Yeah. It's really great. There's a few different moments that I feel like, cause this is why it's worth a rewatch, is you get to like focus in on each individual character and their reactions. There's two different Moira moments that I love throughout this whole Simply the Best moment. One, she like grabs David. She like puts her hand on him.
Yeah.
And then there's another moment when the camera is like zooming in on Dan Levy and you just see her. And instead of looking at Patrick, she's looking at David. And it's so sweet. I love it so much. And I love that she calls Patrick David's butter voiced beau, I think. Oh, Stuart.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good. I love it so much.
It really is. The bit when she kind of reached out an arm and kind of like realizes, oh, this isn't gonna be cringe and it's gonna be awful because he's really good and it's gonna be sweet and lovely, is incredible. I love the fact that Moira turned up with the same cynicism that David was giving the whole night. I'm just like, yeah. Oh, it's the same thing that I was worried about with this, because open mics can be a real kind of like hit or miss thing. Like, it's never, oh, that was okay. It's either really good or it's really bad, I feel. And I'm not sure if you've ever had someone singing in close proximity to like an uncaptivated audience. It's not great. It's really kind of cringe. Yeah,
it feels like you go to like a bad comedian's like stand-up routine, like it's so awkward, and especially if they're singing to you, at you, for you, and they're bad. Unless they're bad on purpose and it's supposed to be funny, then it's just really awkward and awful.
Yeah, but of course, I mean, we shouldn't have been concerned. We should have had absolute faith that Patrick wouldn't get himself into anything, because he's just... I mean, he sings it to David, but he is the best. Like, Patrick is just so wonderful. Like, yeah.
Also,
how did David land this?
It's Noah Reed, which I realize is like, many people might not be aware. He's got like a whole album out there. His song Hold On is just like one of my personal favorites. I sent it to Justin Stewart to listen to beforehand. It's like a song about a long distance relationship. And so it hits very close to home and it's just very emotional and beautiful. And yeah, Noah Reed is just like freaking talented and it's incredible. But also Patrick, I just love Patrick's confidence through this whole thing where David's very against it. And he's like, no, it's going to be great. And like, just absolutely not. And yeah. David's line about like the worst case scenario is I might have to listen to improv, which is very funny. But Patrick's totally on board with it.
Yeah. Patrick's confidence is the, I think, the most attractive thing about Patrick, because I mean, we've had it before. He was like, I'm going to get the money. And it's like, oh, yes, you can stay. Financial confidence, hot.
I've found the moment. I think that's the turning point in this episode. So we have Moira with the reach out of the arm.
Yeah.
This is, they're starting off like a little, I don't know. And then like, it's right after this that they're like, wait a minute, excuse me. What? Mm-hmm. He's good. He's actually very good. Like it's, oh, it's so good. And he's so good. And this whole scene is so good. And the only thing that's bad about this scene is that the shits just have to ruin my life and interrupt it. Like, truly, we should have gotten all 3 minutes of this song uninterrupted.
I was so mad. I was like, I forgot that they interrupt this. And I was like, stop. Noah Reed is singing right now. Shut up.
Get out of here.
In their defense, I think if this, like, I get it because they're trying to like, squeeze a joke out of the whole situation. They're not trying to make it this kind of awkward 3 minutes of song. If maybe, I don't know, maybe people weren't kind of vibing with it. And I don't know who wouldn't, but maybe that was a concern of theirs. So maybe they kind of throw in this joke to kind of break it up a little bit. And I think it could have worked a lot better if they just, like, if Moira was just quickly kind of engaged them, heard it, congratulated them, and then all of them were just recaptivated by it. But the fact that they persist with trying to get her attention, I was just there just going,
shut
guys,
the hell up. Get out of here.
Just shut up. No one cares about your baby. Go away.
No one cares about your baby. Exactly. Exactly. I
mean, the baby is still going to be like the same. The gender reveal is not going to be stale a minute from now, right? Like you can just wait for a pause. Like even if this was bad, they're in a very tiny space. I'm sure Patrick can hear them.
Like,
what are you doing? Rose Apothecary is not that big.
No.
Yeah.
That would be so funny if he just called him out and went, hey, shut up.
Singing here. I'm singing.
It's so perfect. I love everything about this. I love it, just the, this to me is like, okay, we know Noah Reed can sing. How are we going to put that on our show? Right. And then they come up with this open mic idea. Which works perfectly because if you don't know Noah Reed and you don't know he's a singer, you're not expecting him to sing on the show and you're certainly not expecting him to be as good as he is. So it's just, especially I think earlier in the episode when he talks about wearing the leather vest and nothing underneath it and he like strums the guitar on his way out. Like he's not like actually playing. So you're like, uh-oh, like is he actually going to be bad? I just love the entire, I don't know. I could spend like an hour just talking about how beautiful it is and how incredible the love story of Patrick and David is. But everyone already knows that, you know, everyone already knows that everyone loves this couple because they're the best.
I think I remember from watching behind the scenes stuff after the show finished, I believe, I might be wrong on this, but I believe they cast Noah as Patrick and then learned that he was a really talented singer and like not the other way around. So I think that this was, you're totally right, a moment of like, oh, we need to make something of this. Like this is worth getting on the show and being a part of this story. So I think it's that way and not the other way around, but I could be wrong.
I think
it plays to like the really good writing of the show in the fact that they kind of like write things that play to the actor's strengths. Like you can clearly like whenever there's chemistry that they pick up on, that seems to kind of get thrown in. Like Ted and the way in which he's kind of become this weird goofball over time absolutely fits. with Dustin Milligan. So like, I can see how they kind of like do this, discover these small little things and just add it in, and it just rounds out the character so well.
Yeah, because a lot of the puns are and stuff for Ted are written in because they know that like Dustin Milligan loves them so much. So yeah, I think there's like definitely bits of that. I think the writing for Moira gets like more as you go along, as Catherine O'Hara is just like knocking it out of the park. I do think that there's a lot of the show evolving with the actors playing these characters, which is just, I think you're right, a sign of a really well-written show and a really smartly written show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I could talk about the open mic night like literally for another hour, but we probably should talk about some of the other storylines, even though no one cares. Let's talk about Roland and Jocelyn's whole gender reveal situation happening here. Stuart, what did you make of Roland's family's reasoning for not learning the genders of their babies? Because it goes back to the witches in Salem sort of situation.
Everything goes back to the Salem witch trials. I don't know how this always happens. I thought it was hilarious. Like the whole way in which Moira reacts to what she's opening the veil is like, why has someone put a picture of a ghost on my desk? It's like, of course Moira says it like that. And then the weird things, like just the absurdity of Roland putting the like safe key as Gloria Estefan's birthday is just why? That makes no sense to me. I don't think we've had any reference to Gloria Estefan before, have we? I don't think we have.
No, but I don't know. I guess I can still see it making sense. Like, Roland has interests that don't always align with what you think he would be interested in, right? Like, he loves, Devil Wears Prada. Mm. Like, he likes
Meryl Streep for other reasons, as we come to discover. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah. The whole kind of the whole tradition of just not knowing. I mean, it's a very common thing. I think a lot of people do choose not to know, and sometimes they do the whole baby gender reveal. I'm not a fan of.
I just can't roll my eyes hard enough, and I'm sorry, people love it. I just don't
yuck
care.
Anyone's yum. I just don't. Yeah.
It's another reason to have another party where people have to buy you things. Stop asking people to pay for things for your stupid baby.
No, I stop asking people to pay for your wedding stuff. Stop asking people to pay for your baby stuff. Like, it's so annoying. Like, I am happy to go to a wedding. I am fine to go to a baby shower. But anything else, I'm done. Like, I don't want it. And yeah, I am only fine to go to a baby shower if it is not just women that are expected to go, because that infuriates me to no end. First of all, gender is a social construct. Why are we doing gender reveal parties for babies that aren't even born yet? It makes no sense. Basically, there's just too many videos online of these going badly, either because they, you know, start a forest fire or something stupid, or like toxic men reacting badly to one or the other, and like, I don't know. The Venn diagram of people who are shitty people and people who do gender reveal parties is just too much of an overlap for them to not be a problem.
Perfect circle, but there is enough of an overlap. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just kind of who cares? Like, here's the thing. If you want to go get a cupcake, shoot some like blue or pink icing in it, even though colors are not gendered and it's freaking stupid, and you want to like present said cupcake to your parents or your friends or what, sure, okay, have fun. Stop starting forest fires. Stop doing entire parties for this if you're also going to do a baby shower, because I'm not going to both. I'm not playing those stupid games where you gotta, look how big her belly is. First of all, that's offensive. Second of all, I don't want to play your dumb games, okay? Because I am at a distinct disadvantage. I don't have children. Therefore, I'm not as good at baby bingo as people who have. So the system is already rigged against me. And that's, let's be real. The only reason I'm going to this party is for the games, okay? So like, truly, I just can't. The gender stuff is so stupid. And the fact that they don't want to find out is also dumb to me. I've never understood this as a thing, like as a, we don't want to know why. Is it going to change anything? It's only going to make it a little easier on you if you want to follow gender norms and like gender names and all of those sorts of things. I liked Ronnie's response where she says, what, like, what, having a baby in your 40s wasn't surprise enough? Like, yeah, fine. No, it's stupid. That's savage. How I feel about it. I loved it. It's so real. It's so
real.
There was
a point though where Ronnie was like pretending like to be really kind of nonchalant about it and like not care and stuff. And then, but was intrigued enough to be like, well, no, I'm here now. So like, I'm not going to not be involved in this discussion. Mm-hmm. So I think Ronnie is like teetering on the edge of not wanting to be seen as a gossiper, but is absolutely here for the gossip.
Stuart, you are Ronnie. Like, I don't know if we've established this. I don't know if we've established this, but it needs to be said on the podcast that, like, Stuart likes to hover on the outside of the gossip. But, like, when Moira asks to confabulate with her for a moment, Ronnie is like, I'm not falling for that. Like, I don't need this. I don't need this in my life. I don't need this strife. But she wants to know. Like, she wants to be in the know on what's going on without being
like, I like to be informed is what I like. I'm not angry about being compared to Ronnie. That's actually
Ronnie's
really good
incredible.
Thing,
I love Ronnie.
That's great. Yeah. Stuart wants to know the drama. He doesn't want to be the drama.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to send in their drama to me, by all means, podcast at talkingshit.com.
And so Roland, I think it's Moira locks away the sonogram as well as the sticky note with the numbers on it in the safe. So no one can access it. They have, again, very easy thing to do is call your stupid doctor who's going to have it on your stupid medical chart. Like, you don't need to make a big stink about it. But eventually they get over the fact that like witches were burned at the stake for knowing a gender, guessing a gender correctly when it's literally a 50-50 shot. And they find out it's a boy. Hooray. Hurrah. Stuart, any guesses on the name?
Dog. Dog. Perfect. Shit. I mean, anything is going to be better than, and I'm really sorry if anyone's called Tammy listening to this, but Tammy was their choice.
Honestly, are we in the 1980s? Like, who is naming their, a Tammy is like a 40-year-old woman, not a little baby.
You say that, and I say this knowing that Melissa is on this podcast with us right now, but like Canada is kind of like a little behind. Maybe it's a little 80s code.
In front of her face.
What is this random shot that I've just taken across the bow for no reason? Do I have a friend named Tammy who's significantly younger than I am? Yes, I do. That said, how freaking dare you? How I Met Your Mother maybe got it right. The 80s came to Canada in 93. We are sometimes a tad behind. We are not so behind that the name Tammy is like, you know, 30 years later being applied to babies.
Is it doing that thing where like kind of, because like names go in and out of popularity and stuff like that. Is it now turning a point where Tammy is now like,
oh, like Eleanor. Eleanor is back, even though it's a name for old ladies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't think Tammy is an old lady name. I think it's like a middle-aged lady name.
Well, right? Yes.
Like, yeah.
As evidenced by Parks and Recreation, which Stuart would understand if he'd seen that show. Yeah. So they eventually find out they're having a boy. It's hopefully going to be a better name than Tammy. But that's all that's going on.
It's going to be better than Mutt. Just full stop.
That's true. We also learn during this entire exchange and hubbub that Gwen locked Bob out of the house and that he needed to get a locksmith, and that he also now keeps a sleeping bag in his car.
Yeah, he's very quick to clarify that it was an accident, but I don't know. I have my doubts, Bob.
I mean, considering that like he's interrupting her Pilates to tell her just some non-news and she's already hanging up on him, I don't think everything's going all that well for Bob. I'm here for it.
I love Bob so much. Shout out to Grace Leader, who coined Bob his new nickname, Bob the Jog Queen.
That's incredible.
Anyone who knows,
well done, Grace.
A RuPaul's Drag Race fan knows Bob the drag queen.
Oh,
it's perfect.
Grace said it to us, and then both me and Jess at the same time just both put the exact same response, which was just Grace in all caps.
Perfect.
I just privately messaged Jess. I was like, well, we separated at birth. What the fuck?
Speaking of Stuart, I have news for you. This is unrelated to anything to do with Schitt's Creek. So I apologize if that's what people are here for. My dad, as we all know, I am a little bit of my father genetically and just in other ways. And he gets hyperfixations like I do. And his latest hyperfixation has been on our family tree. He is like obsessively going back to see what our family history was like, which sometimes gives you great news and sometimes gives you not so great news. But on the bright side, Stuart, so my mom is half Irish, half German, very easy, boom, done. Okay. My dad's side, it's always been like Irish and some other European garbage thrown in, you know, just like whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a whole mishmash. Turns out I'm very British and I couldn't be more pleased with myself.
Jess, your last name is Sterling.
Yep.
Yeah. Listen, I know. I have always said this, but I've always been told it's like Scottish. But nay, say I am originally British. Part British. So you're welcome, Stuart.
Scotland's a part of Britain. I'm just going to put that out there.
I can't. Listen, geography is none of my business. Okay. none of my business.
English is the word you're looking for, but yes.
I'm English. Yes. So.
Wow.
But also British with the Scotland.
I'm all British, of those things.
Yeah. I it's the least surprising thing I think you've ever said in your entire life.
Well, that was my good news for you. Anyway.
Is it good news, Stuart?
Welcome to the team. That's all I can say.
Team. Yes.
Well done.
Thank you.
You're already learning the lingo.
Thank you. Should we talk about?
All I'm saying is it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah.
Tea?
No, being British. As someone whose dad was born there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, anyway, let's talk about Alexis and her new position as VP of Marketing and Communications and also freelance brand invigorator.
She changes her title like 3 different times in the episode. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. She does a great job. Now, my question is, because we see her give this whole pitch, right, to Johnny and to Stevie, and at the end, she's like, well, this was step one, and I think we did a great job. And like her and Johnny high five. I couldn't help but think, like, was Johnny in on this? Like, did they confabulate earlier and kind of get this all situated before she pitched it to the two of them?
Possibly. I guess they could have done so. Although it doesn't seem like the kind of thing. I mean, Johnny still looked awkward giving a high five. And maybe he still would if it was like a planned high five. Yeah, I think he'd always be a bit like that. I think the most egregious thing in that whole scene is that, like, I get Stevie is in her emotions in that moment and isn't the type to high five, but still, I don't care if you're not the type of person to high five or not. You never leave someone hanging. If someone offers a high five, you have to return it. There's
A monster if you don't. Yeah, 1,000%.
This is not a take I would have expected from Stuart.
It's a very American take.
What could be more polite than returning a high five?
I just feel like high fives are American because of sports.
You're not the only country with sports.
I know, but like we're like obsessed with them in like a really weird way.
Because England is noticeably not at all obsessed with football.
Do you all high five after a football game over there?
No, we just head by each other and then go to football hooliganism. Like we don't. High fives are just childish. We just go out and beat people up.
Do you do the tap on the butt? Like, nice, good game.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone does that, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, hockey. I like the whole idea of just, like, go out there, like, have a bit of rough and tumble and stuff, and it's all within the rules of the game, right?
I was talking about this the other day, that hockey is the only, it's modern day dueling. Because Ooh. Literally, like, one guy drops his gloves and then has to wait for the other guy to drop his gloves. And then they get to fight. And everyone else just stops and watches. And it was one of those things where it had never dawned on me that, like, the rest of the game stops when the fight is happening. Like, obviously it does, but I had never been like, yeah, that's just like the gentleman's code of like, and now we will wait until they are done fighting and then we will resume the sport. And it's just like, and then they go for a little bit of a timeout and then they get to come back. It's just, it's so funny.
I love it. Give them the honor and respect of just like observing this like epic battle, but then afterwards give them a timeout because they are toddlers for having had to fight.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to pull someone's jersey over their head and, you know, punch them in the gut, like, you should, you know, go think about what you did for a little bit.
Yeah. Reflect.
So, Alexis is trying to reinvigorate this brand. And we start with a photo shoot in which Johnny's hands are so awkward that they might have to Photoshop.
Relatable.
Hands are weird. Like, yeah, what do you even do most of the time? Mm-hmm.
Put them in your pockets.
Yeah.
That's what I do when I'm weird.
Yeah, but then but no you get thumbs. Told off by Ray. Yeah.
Yeah. And Alexis is essentially telling them all to smize the whole time. And Stevie is not getting the note at all.
And I love Alexis behind the camera of she's just like, and she's just like doing these little like posing, trying to like prompt Stevie to do. And she's like, and then she's like, literally anything.
It's so awkward, like two diametrically opposite people in this moment. It's like Stevie, who was born to never even look at the camera, just isn't there for that at all. It's just not their vibe whatsoever. And Alexis, who is almost eager to like climb into the shot, I feel, and just be like, right, like this, everyone, do exactly like this. I love that Alexis is bringing this, I think, needed look at kind of the aesthetics that the motel is projecting, because obviously if it was up to Stevie, it would be a rundown wreck of a place that would probably run quite well, because, I mean, Stevie seems to be very kind of like adept at that. But I don't think Johnny's got the eye for it. I don't think Stevie's got the eye for it, but Alexis certainly does. So I think it makes total sense. I think what doesn't make total sense is Alexis saying, I'm going to do this consultancy pro bono, and as part of a pro bono service, I'm going to factor in an assessment of building in my wages into this, which I thought was just so cheeky.
She is a businesswoman, and she knows how to get what she's worth. And she has really good points, like very valid points. Your website is just a cartoon of a construction worker holding a sign that says, we'll be right back. This is not okay. We're in 20, well, at the time, I don't know, 2015-ish. Like, wait, let's have an actual working website. You can't have a phone booking system, especially if it sounds like you have strep throat when you recorded it. It's not good. She's making valid points that they do need to figure this out. I feel like we could have done other things besides a photo shoot first thing, especially if Ray is your photographer, especially if I feel like they weren't given any notes on what to wear. Stevie looked like she was wearing what she always wears. And so was Johnny, but Johnny's always wearing a suit. So
I don't know. That's what she was going for, though. She was going for that like whole look of like, oh, I don't care about how I look kind of thing. I don't care about the city. Like, is that's the vibe she's going for, which kind of makes sense, I guess. But that combined with Johnny's suit wearing aesthetic is a bit opposed. I don't think that makes too much sense.
Yeah, and I guess part of it is just like understanding that Stevie is not going to be comfortable in front of a camera. So how do you work around that? Is there a way to like take it as a candid shot instead of just like a profile, or just photographing other things other than just Johnny, right? Like maybe you don't build it completely around Stevie and more about, I don't know, whatever. I'm not a brand invigorator, but yes, I think Alexis is like actually good at this, which is very cool, but yeah.
Yeah. And she's doing all of this, it seems like, for a college, like a grade for one of her classes, right? She says she got like a 77 or something, which
maybe David's comment of, have you ever got an A?
It's more realistic though. But I do like, even if it's, I don't know if it's for show or just them doing the Rosebud on the motel is so lovely because it's like, it's proof that he's invested. And she, I love her asking, like, can we get that in writing? I'm shocked they don't already have something in writing.
Yeah.
Like, well, what exactly was the, what exactly was the like arrangement here if they didn't have a contract or something? She's well within her right to get this in writing from him.
Yeah. I thought Johnny's reaction to that comment was probably the saddest thing about it, because I think it actually showed that like there is just zero trust in Johnny's longevity with this whole scheme. And it's the it's not just Stevie being caught up in the moment of being kind of embarrassed by not being too comfortable with like having like their photo taken and things like that, but it's actually coming from a real concern that Johnny will up and leave at the first opportunity. Whereas Johnny is seeing this as like, no, this is a partnership. We're partners in this together. And so I love the fact that when Stevie makes that almost like barbed response of just, well, can I get that in writing? Which I think is, I don't think she was asking that legitimately. I think it was almost like a bit of a stinger of just like, oh, well, can I get that in writing kind of thing. And then Johnny just goes, yeah. Just no quibbling, no nothing, just agrees to it because he knows exactly like that will settle Stevie's kind of concerns. And then the name change on top of it and the sign is so sweet. It's, I think the only shame about it is that it gets lost against the open mic of this episode. Yeah. I don't think it's a, like, that to me felt like a series ending scene. Oh, not series ending scene, season ending scene. Yeah. I went very British there, everyone. I'm really sorry. A season ending scene of just like, here's the unveiling, and then they just kind of move on kind of thing. And we're left with like Stevie having an emotional moment kind of looking at it. And it gets lost against the open mic because everyone remembers Simply the Best and everyone gushes about that. And I think had this been on its own, it would have been celebrated far more than what I think what we're celebrating it now. But I think that just adds to making this episode even more special because it's got two absolute banger moments for sentimentality. So I'm not going to be too down on it, on that choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice to remember how, because I agree with you. Like you don't hear, oh, it's the open mic episode and immediately think, oh, it's the one where they renamed the motel. But when you are watching it, it is like, man, this show is so good that the A plot and the B plot are like equally emotional in some ways.
I secretly like that they misspell Rosebud because I think it looks better without the double D.
Oh yeah. Rosebud with no, it's an homage to Stevie's name. It doesn't need to be her actual name.
Exactly, because Rose is spelled correctly and Bud isn't. It's not their fault that their name is the one that's spelled correctly, you know? So I think it's fair. And I love her reaction to it. I love the blindfold. I love that Alexis tries to count down from 10. I think all of it is just, it's lovely. It's very move that bus moment, you know? Stuart, you don't know Extreme Home Makeover?
It took me a moment and I was like, there's no way Stuart's going to get this reference.
Okay, there was this show called, was it called Extreme Home Makeover, Melissa? It was something like that.
I've never seen it. It's very American, but
it had this ridiculous host named Ty something or other, and he was very high energy, and they basically would like help people who didn't have enough money to like remodel their house, or maybe they needed it remodeled for a specific reason. Like maybe a family member recently had some sort of accident and has left them like in a wheelchair, so they don't have, you know, a home that can accommodate that sort of thing. Not always that like sad story, but they always had this like big grand backstory. And the way they would do it, so that people would be kicked out of their house for like 2 weeks or something, and they would fully remodel this house like top to bottom in 2 weeks. And the way they would reveal it is they would get this ginormous like Greyhound bus, like think British double-decker bus, Stuart. Okay, stay with me. And they'd put it in front of the house.
I can imagine a bus.
Picture a bus, big yellow,
it's a big vehicle.
A what?
It's a very big vehicle. And they'd put it in front of the house and they would have the people stand behind it and they would yell, "Move that bus!" And the bus would drive out of the way and then they would see the house all redone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Would it be a dramatic like overhaul or is it just like that? Yeah. House, a bit shiny?
I was going to say, okay. If it's just like an interior remodel, the outside, they're like, okay, this looks the same. Yeah.
I'm fairly certain, because if you listen to us, it's possible you've also watched Dropout TV. We're big fans. There is an episode of, I think it's Make Some Noise, where one of the improv prompts is act like you are on that show, but they've replaced everything in your house with boulders. they have to like act it out.
Yeah. Apparently those kinds of shows, though, the craftsmanship is terrible.
Because they do like, it in 2 weeks. Because
the way they get it done in 2 weeks is to like cut massive corners, and it's actually like not great for those families who are now left in
Terrible.
Like been terribly remodeled. But yeah.
Yeah, it's awful. The typical American show, you know.
We had some of the shows. I'm not sure if we still do, like ones that was like DIY SOS, and we also had one that was called Changing Rooms. DIY SOS is the more successful ones where they actually like kind of just redo someone's house that's like kind of come into some hardship, and it's really kind of nice in that sense. But Changing Rooms was the original one, and the idea was is they would get two interior designers, two families, and they'd like read, but the other they'd like swap, and the people would help the interior designer design someone else's room.
Oh, okay. No. There was a show called Trading Spaces that's kind of similar to that.
Yeah, it was horrid. Like people would like do these really experimental. There was a really famous one where someone had like a collection of these antique teapots, and they did this experimental like bookshelf that was all hung by like metal wire and stuff like that. And of course, fell, smashed, and they were all destroyed. And the woman just walks in, sees it, and just starts sobbing.
That's the most British thing ever. It's broke on my teapot collection. Wow.
Yeah. No bus reveals, though, sadly. Much smaller scale. Just a room. You change a room, not a house.
Yeah.
Anyway, we get to see the Roosevelt sign, and it's really nice. It's a really lovely episode. Do we have anything else that we've missed before we want to jump into some feedback here? We talked about Gwen. We talked about Bob.
Just a comment on Ray continually like bullying Johnny, and Johnny just still taking it, seemingly. I don't
everyone bullies Johnny
this relationship.
Yeah,
I felt bad for the guy, and I was like, and I've been ragging on him for like a season and a half now. Like, dude doesn't deserve this from Ray. Like, cut him a bit of slacking, man.
Yeah, it's really brutal. All right, let's get into some feedback here because we do have quite a bit. We got a message from Aaron, who was able to watch that without crying. I thought so. There's so much good stuff in this episode, but my God, that song. This is true love and my heart can't handle it. I cry every single time I watch it. I actually love watching Moira watch David in this scene. P.S. I used this song for the first dance at my wedding, and it just felt so beautiful and special. Other than that, cold open is hysterical, trying to confabulate with Ronnie and Bob getting locked out by Savage Gwen. Alexis is on fire. I'm really glad Johnny isn't just shutting her down because he thinks he knows better. It's so great that he's open to her ideas because they're actually excellent and she's doing so well. And Stevie getting emotional at the new sign is just beautiful too. It makes sense that she expects the roses to split at the first sign of success. So this is a really beautiful way to give her some reassurance that they are in it together and she's just not a stopgap while they wait for something better to come along.
Such a good take.
Trish says David being so against the open mic night, but Patrick refusing to be swayed and even mildly teasing David is just too perfect. I know they didn't actually say it, but shout out to the smizing reference during the photo shoot. Yes, all the top model stands rejoice. Also, Patrick singing gave me the goosebumps. It's just a perfect moment. I get full body chills every time I watch the scene. It's like I don't cry at shows, but I will get full body goosebumps. It's just so good.
There was a point with everyone's reactions to this, like kind of what was coming up, and I was just being like, oh, okay, it's just one of these things that I'm just not going to get. I'm not quite to the level of full body chills, but it is an incredibly like profound moment. And I understand the reaction now at least.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But not on the full body chill level. Just going to put that there.
Josiah asked, love. He does. Obviously you hate love.
Story. Get out of here with that catchphrase.
That's not this podcast.
Yeah.
Josiah has a question. Now that you finally know what Simply the Best is from, do Do you think it's simply the best reference for the MVP metric? Is it better than all the rest?
Hard to equate it not knowing the other candidates, but I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Because how can it not be after having to wait four seasons to find out what it meant?
Listen, I'm a brand invigorator. I know how to brand the MVP section.
Amazing.
We also got an email from Libby. I wanted to follow up with a more serious email because this episode deserves that. I actually think the scene where Patrick sings would sell a lot of people on the show, if only it wouldn't spoil Patrick's character. I love both David and Moira's face journeys, the way Moira touches David's shoulder and the look on her face as she eyes him. And I love that Patrick's eyes meet David's the whole time. Simply the best indeed.
Yeah, that's
goosebumps just reading contact. That email.
Like, just doesn't kind of play to the audience, plays to David the entire time.
Yeah, oh. That's so sweet. No. Let's get to our ratings segment where it's probably going to be the easiest of all time. the first segment, of course, we're going to give out who is simply the best, which now Stuart understands. And I actually have a sound clip now for this section.
He's simply the best, better than all the rest.
And that's
I mean, I'm going to give mine to Patrick because obviously, like truly, I don't know who else I would give it to. Patrick is getting my simply the best point. He's incredible. I love this song. I love that he pokes fun at David. I love that he doesn't tell David ahead of time that he can sing. So he makes David worry. I think all of these things are lovely. And I love Patrick so much. So he's going to get my point. What say you, Melissa?
Yeah, I want to like flash through the Rolodex because I think Alexis has a really great episode. I think that like Johnny and Stevie have like this great connection and this beautiful episode. I love Moira and David and their reaction to the singing as well. But like, you have to give it to Patrick. Like I think that there are tons of really great candidates in this episode, but just Patrick is simply the best.
Mm-hmm. Stuart, now that we've told you you're like Ronnie, do you want to give her the MVP point?
I mean, she's winning it from now until the end. So much so that for everyone, know that this is going to be second place from now on for me. No, in seriousness, I won't lie. I was really tempted to give it to Johnny this episode for just the gesture, just the way in which he kind of went into not... I didn't want to play it down and like kind of belittle it a little bit by saying went into dad mode a little bit, but just went into like a caring partnership mode with Stevie. And I feel like that should be celebrated a little bit more, mostly because I feel like I have to pick up a lot of slack from having given Johnny a lot of shit lately. Well deserved, but I have been giving it. But you can't call a category simply the best and not give it to the guy that freaking sings it, right? It's got to be Patrick. Yeah,
he's so good. I love him so much. Disgruntled Pelican. Now here's my thing. Here's the thing. It's a tough episode. Like everyone is lovely. Everyone is incredible. I love everyone in this episode. Here's the thing. There's one person who interrupts the best moment of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of two people, but I feel like one person does the talking, and so that is the person that I will be forced to give a disgruntled Pelican point to. Jocelyn interrupts the song.
Jess, no, we're gonna get emails. No.
Who else should I give it to? You listen, my point is up for grabs. If you give me a valid other option, Melissa, go ahead. Who are you giving?
I'm going for Roland because Roland is co-interrupting. But also, the whole reason why it's anything is his fault, right? Jocelyn clearly just wants to know. And she's like acquiescing to these like shit family traditions. And
truly shit traditions. Yeah.
Exactly. I blame Roland for this completely. And he's there equally interrupting. So, yeah.
Stuart, I completely agree. Roland. Ordinarily, I want to try and forgive Roland because he has that role. He is meant to be that guy that we're not meant to like. He serves that function, the comedy kind of aspect. But the dude didn't know the combination to his own safe, tells people what the possible options for that safe is, which for me as someone that deals in like security at times, I'm just like, no, don't tell people what your freaking password is. Fundamentals here. And then he is a co-interrupter. So yeah, and I'm not going to give it to Jocelyn. Because Jocelyn is lovely. Stop bringing
That's fair. Jocelyn just got roped into this nonsense. I will say, she did marry Roland. So, like, we have questions about, you know, her sanity sometimes.
Okay, as someone who was doing a bit of a binge watch before this, because I'd fallen a bit behind, you know, she gets into a bed with a naked Roland, and he's just irresistible. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait.
No!
No one can resist that.
That's what I have to say about that.
You need some courage to get with him.
Yes, courage.
Okay, fine. You've convinced me. You're right. Roland, it's a sweep. So Patrick is simply the best, and the disgruntled pelican, of course, is Roland. Roland's really getting beaten up this season, but well deserved. He sucks, so that's what he gets. You know,
playing his role well.
Yes. Okay, we have a wig to discuss. It's a blinking and miss it wig, but we do have a wig when the sign is mounted, and quite the outfit along with this steward.
This looks, I mean, good. It's like the wig is a perfectly good wig that could, like, I think make Moira look professional and elegant in most circumstances. Where has this been for all of the town council meetings where she's needed to project a really kind of good, like, look of a business person or a town councilor?
Yeah, why but does it's it like, get it's like
here?
Flat.
Why is it here for a sign reveal?
It's like, my problem with it is that it's like flat and boring, right? Like, if we were watching Drag Race, like, where's the volume? Where's the intrigue? Mm. It looks like her hair, but longer. Which I think is my biggest problem.
I was going to say, this just looks like Catherine O'Hara's actual hair.
Maybe that's why I'm like, I think it looks lovely.
Yeah. But the outfit is incredible. Like, we have a black suit with, like, birds on it. And I've come to realize that I feel like, and I know it's made as a joke in one of the earlier episodes, Moira and David literally could interchange their outfits and no one would bat an eyelash. Like, they dress in the same sort of signature outfits, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah. I love that you just call them birds. I think these are geese, which I think is like a hilarious
Canadian
thing. Because of course,
I think they're swans.
They look very geese-like to me.
They're white. I think they're swans.
Can geese be
white?
White
geese?
Or like cranes? These don't look like geese. Geese are great.
Geese can be white. I maintain it's geese because I feel that Moira probably takes on the kind of mindset of a goose sometimes in terms of being silly and kind of just an absolute troll of a person.
What I was going to say, what goose have you met that is silly? Geese are evil and terrifying.
A silly goose.
A silly goose.
That's my goose is silly.
From Melissa. Your goose is a dog, but...
Anyway... that's the outfit. The wig is kind of boring. Let's be real. It's just longer version of her hair, which I find kind of boring. But the outfit is incredible. There's the intrigue. You know, it's fine. All right. It is time, of course, as always, we're here to rank the episode. We have Hot Shit, Full Bouquet, Love That Journey for Me, You, David, and Shit Out of Luck. Stuart, I feel like I already know where this is going to go, but please tell us where you think, what tier this episode belongs in.
Hot Shit, if either of you disagree with me, fight me. It is going at the top.
I mean, I'm not going to fight you. I think even without the rosebud sign at the end, like, I don't care what the other storylines are. Like, I simply don't care because the simply the best moment is gonna put it in Hot Shit no matter what, right? Like, even if someone died, like, this episode is going to the top.
I wouldn't go that far.
Someone could die and it wouldn't matter. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, it's Hot Shit, and I think you're right. I think the A storyline puts it in hot shit, but the B storyline is what puts it at the top of hot shit. Like, this is just,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where it belongs. And we're, I mean, we're kind of top heavy right now with this season, and I'm liking it. It's looking good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Consistent with what everyone's been saying. Gets better and better.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Stuart, are you ready to hear what next week's episode title is?
I am indeed.
Okay. Season 4, episode 7, The Barbecue.
Oh.
Do you have barbecues over there, Stuart?
We have
barbecues. Are you aware of barbecues?
I love it. I think Jess genuinely thinks that we live in the Charles Dickens novel over here.
Wonder, because like, do you have grills? Like, if you were to drive around the suburbs, do people have grills outside?
No, because it's too cold and wet out here all the time. Like, usually if anyone's got like a barbecue, it's either hiding in the shed gathering cobwebs, or it's like covered in a tarp that's like permanently out there and stuff. But people don't have like big barbecue grilling units and things like that.
That's interesting.
But yeah, we have barbecue, but we just don't have the barbecue culture that obviously.
Yeah, American. You don't have the salads. We've talked about this somewhere at some point.
Oh, you mean, and for the purposes of the audio only, air quotes, salads. Basically vessels for mayonnaise, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
This is what happens when someone not from America comes on this pod. I get so like amped up. I'm just like, yeah, because I got backup today.
Listen, Melissa, do you have potato salad up there? You have potato salad.
We have potato salad, yes. But yeah. The thing is, to Stuart's point, Canadians think that all weather is barbecue weather. We will barbecue in the middle of winter when it is snowing and freezing outside. Because, you know, only wimpy chumps don't barbecue in the winter. Yeah. One of my favorite bits from Come From Away the musical is related to the barbecue, where the mayor asks the American to go around and borrow other people's barbecues for the big meal. And he's like, I was expecting to get like, and everybody offers me a drink as I'm coming to steal their barbecue.
Barbecue.
You haven't seen Come From Away, anyone, go watch it. It's fantastic. Really good.
Yeah. Well, that's our episode. Did we miss anything?
I think go listen to Noah Reed on Spotify. That's my shout out.
Yeah.
Great shout.
So good. Well, thank you so much, Melissa, for coming on, repping Canada, always doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
Where else can people find you? What else you got going on?
Sure. Melissa Woodward, 28 on the internet, over on Whirlwind Podcast, talking Veronica Mars, talking Doctor Who. We've got lots of stuff going over there. Todd and Tommy are talking Gravity Falls. We've got the previously on team doing Shameless and Pretty Little Liars. One Indescribable Podcast is doing Schmigadoon, where they're like watching the musicals inspired by Schmigadoon. So that's a great time. Adam and Zed are talking Smash. So we're going to have some Mythic Quest coverage coming up soon, because that's just coming out. And then over on Rob Has a Podcast, We Know Severance. I'm talking Severance with Josh and Dr. Amanda. And that is incredibly exciting. Adam Scott said my name recently, and that's wild. So check that out on the Rapgram's Instagram video if you haven't seen that yet. And yeah, lots of exciting times going on over there. The show's really good. If you haven't watched Severance, watch Severance. Oh, it's incredible. Probably Severance. Like the best show right now. I don't know, like yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, best show that's on currently, that's for sure. Stuart, we launched a little bit of a something for a show that's coming back pretty soon.
Look for the Light podcast covering The Last of Us. Episode 1 is out by the time you can listen to this. The second episode will be coming out the following Monday. Available on all your podcatchers, available on YouTube. YouTube gets a little fancy. We throw in some quotes and stuff. Looks a little like
fancy editing.
Took too long. I will just say it just took too long to make. So please go watch it. Please.
Subscribe there too. It would be so great if you did that. We would love it.
Yeah.
And it's spoiler free if you haven't seen season one yet. So feel free to jump right in. and join us.
Yeah. So we're doing like kind of spoiler free. And at the end, for any of those people that have watched along and like know it really well, we've got like a spoiler section. We kind of flag it. So it's available for like anyone, whether you're jumping in for the first time or whether you've seen it loads. And we're releasing those every Monday all the way up till the season 2 premiere, which is not that far away.
A couple months.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be, speaking of Catherine O'Hara, she will be making an appearance in season 2. Mm. So I'm really, really excited for that.
Also filmed very close to my work. My coworkers went on Pedro Pascal walks to try to find him.
Did they see him?
No.
That's devastating.
But the outside of like the streets around my work were all like done up, like some sort of post-apocalyptic. It was very cool.
Yeah.
I'd say something and I'm just going to zip it. Spoilers.
So go check that out. And of course, you can also hear me on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, where we're talking about Buffy and Felicity. And we've had some really interesting stuff with both of those shows. So go check out all of that. And of course, come back next week for season 4, episode 7. Until then, everyone, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.